Welcome back. It's Beyond the Box Score. I'm Dan Schneier. That's Jacob Gibbs. And what would a show be without me starting off with a victory lap? It's what I do here. Jacob and Trevor Lawrence, who we're talking about today. And before last season, you can go back and look at our YouTube page from last August. And you said, gimme, we're breaking down quarterbacks. Gimme your top targets from his position. And Trevor Lawrence was one of my most drafted players. Now, unfortunately, within the victory lap, I have to admit, to defeat, which is it was Trevor Lawrence and CJ Stroud. Those are the guys I told you to get. One win, one hit, one massive fail. But as we move forward with Trevor Lawrence, Jacob, I feel really good about him heading into the season. He's a really polarizing player for fantasy football. And I'm going to be curious throughout this episode to see where you're at with him, because I'm drafting him high, I'm ranking him high, and I see him still ranked a little bit low for my liking.
Very polarizing player. Mr. Lawrence, I don't know what to do with him. I was hoping that you would tell me, being the Trevor draft Lawrence him. Whisperer here. Yeah, draft him. I love
keep
it.
Drafting him.
Yeah, so I've got Lawrence pretty high for fantasy. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff today, but let me just throw these up on the screen. For fantasy purposes, I've got Trevor Lawrence at QB9, so that's behind Caleb Williams, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, ahead of Brock Purdy, Jackson Dart, Bo Nix, Dak Prescott, Matthew Stafford. I do feel really good about him. I don't necessarily know if we can expect 9, I think, rushing touchdowns is what he had last year, which boosted things. But at the same time, my buddy Jared Smola came on and did an episode with us a while back, but it was a really good episode. And on that, he had some cool stats about Lawrence, one of which was, here it is, math adds up, 10 must-know takeaways, forming 2026 fantasy football projections with Jared. His stat was that Lawrence, over the second half of the year, had the only Josh Allen had more expected rushing touchdowns than Lawrence. He was used around the red zone a lot. I think maybe Chris Rodriguez gets a little more involved in that area than maybe Etienne did, who struggled a bit in short yardage situations. But still, Lawrence is a big guy. This is the second year in a row that we've seen Liam Cohen empower his quarterback to run more. And so that certainly boosted things. But the passing was better too. So what I've got up on the screen here is the catchable ball rate when targeting a first read. QB12 last year for Lawrence compared to QB36 in 2024. He's been somebody who likes to lock in on his first read across multiple coordinators, but this one gave him more answers than ever before. So pre-snap motion to give him, you know, better idea of what might be happening defensively and everything, and the route concepts that are cohesive. And just a lot of like pretty clean and clear designs to attack what the defense was doing, what Liam Cohen thought they might be doing. And Liam Cohen's pretty good at his job, man. Freaking 41 touchdowns for Baker Mayfield, man, like in 2024 under Liam Cohen, 44 touchdowns, 38 for Trevor Lawrence this past year. He's pretty good at what he does, Liam Cohen. He cooks, man.
And if you look at it, as far as at least on the Trevor Lawrence front, with Liam Cohen, he had scored 38 times last year in his first season working with Liam Cohen. Before that, in 26 games over the two seasons before Cohen got there, he scored just 39 times. Like, that's the difference right there in Lawrence's profile. And you brought up Baker Mayfield scoring at that rate as well with Cohen and without Cohen. Cohen's back. Like, they're just improving the roster around him. And I think for me, the big thing with Lawrence throughout watching his tape, and we'll get into more of this a little bit later, Jacob, but it's just the progression, because I thought I was watching a completely different quarterback within that scheme when I watched the early games versus what I watched toward the end of the year. Even the areas of the field they were attacking, they start to utilize the middle, the deep middle of the field in breaking routes and so much, such a better fashion toward the end of the year. This was all, albeit with an injured Brian Thomas, who was playing hurt, not running fast from what we've heard now, and is now fully healthy going into this year. And also, by the way, without Jacoby Myers for most of the season, and really for a large part of the season, they didn't even realize what they had in Parker Washington.
Yeah, I've got his game log up on the screen here on YouTube, and the fantasy points are on the right, and you can just see, like, it was crazy at the end of the year. So a bit of a slow start. I'm giving Dan crap for Trevor Lawrence and CJ Stroud being his calls, and then bam, freaking league winner at the end of the year, 44, 31, 23. Crazy stuff from Lawrence. And to your point, yeah, it came together at the end of the year with the other receivers stepping up. Parker Washington's so good, man. I've been so impressed digging into the film there. And he was somebody that we liked coming into the league, but he just like keeps getting better. And they fully believe in him. All the offseason coach speak has been really, really bullish on Parker Washington continuing to be an important player for them. Jacoby Myers is obviously a good addition and was an important addition. It brought some stability to a room that really did let Trevor Lawrence down some. So he led the league in dropped passing yardage last year, Trevor Lawrence, and it really wasn't very close. And that shows up on film. Obviously, it was Brian Thomas Jr., but not only him. Even Parker Washington was letting balls go through his hands. Britton Strange missed some games early in the year. So, like, he's a really, really good tight end, honestly. It's like, him coming in is impactful as well.
Plus, whatever Hunter could possibly give them.
Yeah, there's a lot of avenues for this being even better, I think, in year two with Liam Cohen. I think it was maybe a lot for Liam Cohen, too, like adapting to – being the head coach, being that presence, and not just the play caller, play designer, and everything.
Sure.
And so, like, he gets a second go round here, another full cycle with the team and everything. And everybody's bought in. All the reports, obviously, it's everybody's in the best, you know, shape of their life season right now, the off season. That's where we're at. But all the reports are really good about Brian Thomas Jr. and the chemistry there and what they're working on. Getting Trevor throwing the ball down the field more. And that's from the beat reporter who was pretty negative about BTJ last year when myself and everybody else was just like effusive with like optimism about what BTJ could become. You know, he's like, BTJ's just kind of struggling a little bit at this time last year. And then we saw what happened. But that same beat reporter has just been speaking glowingly about what's going on in Jacksonville heading into year two with Liam Cohen here. So I've got more stats on Lawrence. I'm curious what you thought.
Yeah.
Having dug into the film, I watched a ton of games on Lawrence. I think I watched 10 games on Lawrence because I was really, really curious what this is going to look like with Liam Cohen, like getting full control here. I do feel like, I'm just curious if this is something you noticed. This is a really specific note. I wanted to look this up and I'm going to do it now after I throw it to you for some film notes. One thing that I noticed that caught me off guard a little bit with Liam Cohen's designs was I felt like the route concepts, this is something with Ben Johnson too. The route concepts are often really, really deep. And sometimes don't leave a clear, like hot type of throw for Lawrence against pressure and against the blitz. And that just surprised me. I'm curious if you have any thoughts on that specifically or anything from Lawrence's film that you want to talk about.
I did notice that. I'm wondering like what that is like, especially toward the end of the year where he was really starting to cook Lawrence, there were a lot of just these deep two-man route concepts that were designed in a lot of ways to clear out vertically. It was like a lot of Yankee scissors, like clear out vertically and have that underneath post. The wide receiver from the outside run underneath the clear out and just be wide open in the middle of the field a lot of the times, or in between zone in the middle of the field for, you know, it requires good accuracy, good anticipation, good velocity from the quarterback, which is something that you can get at times from Lawrence. And that was the thing I noticed the most about his tape. Earlier in the year, I think Liam Cohen, what he expected he had in Trevor Lawrence, Jacob, from like maybe a physical standpoint and from just like watching him throw the football throughout the summer and training camp, what he expected Trevor Lawrence to be good at earlier in the year is different than what he learned he was actually good at later in the year. And that's what has me so excited about him going into this next 2026 season, if that makes sense. Because I think toward the end of the year, they leaned on concepts that work so much better for Lawrence, throwing over the middle of the field with anticipation, those deep inbreakers, instead of trying to go outside early and often, which is what I saw on the tape early in the 2025 season. And a lot of the times it would be these decently, I would say like 7 out of 10 or 6.5 out of 10 level throws to the outside that Thomas just wouldn't come down with, like hitting a one-on-one or some of these other receivers that he tried to hit there. Brent Strange ran some verticals. And then toward the end of the year, they're like, all right, we got other ideas here. Let's kind of run more of that. I guess I don't want to call it like a Ben Johnson style offense, but really utilizing the middle of the field more often.
Well, I just looked it up, and hilariously, they had an identical 9.6 yard average depth of target, Lawrence and Caleb, when facing the blitz. And Lawrence led the league in deep throws against the blitz. So, and Caleb was fourth. So that's awesome. what we saw checks out. I think of it as being a good thing to like have the easy, like, well, if you've got the blitz, you know exactly what you're doing with the ball. But that doesn't have to be something short, I guess. It could be that you're, depending on where it's coming from, or you're scrambling to escape, or you're just letting it rip down the field. They just, man, they did not come down with many of those downfield targets the first year here with Liam Cohen, but maybe things get better. It's almost like there's no Mike Evans in this offense. Yeah, you know what right. I mean? Like, it's almost like that makes a difference. Okay, a couple other things I wanted to talk about with Lawrence. One is definitely the middle of the field throw rate. I think this is important. It's something I talk about a lot. And it's something that improved a lot with Lawrence in his first year with Liam Cohen. I want to say he had a pretty low rate. I can't remember. I think it was like 39%, 38%, and it had never been up above 40%, if my memory serves correctly. And in terms of the percentage of his targets that went to the middle of the field before getting paired up with Cohen. And then last year, his rate was identical to Matthew Stafford's at 42%. Right. And so that is an improvement. And that was something coming into the league that I was like, he could have gone either way. His rate was right on the borderline of being like a little bit too low. If you look at the threshold of quarterbacks who have been like at his rate or below, in terms of middle field throw rate, not very many of them have performed well. And honestly, up until this point, Lawrence has kind of looked like a bust. And I think this is important that he's able to access this area. You brought that up too, like with the receivers and the downfield throwing towards the end of the year. Hopefully he feels more trust in the system and in the receivers. So a lot of people give Lawrence crap for being like hospital ball guy or whatever. But I do think some of the stuff that was happening over the middle of the field from his receivers last year was pretty egregious. So I wanted to point this out that like statistically, he was definitely willing to attack the middle of the field. And I do think that is a good thing. Those passes have been a lot more efficient than passes to the outside. I already pointed out the drops. The last thing I wanted to bring up statistically, two things actually, three things. I always have more stats than I remember. Okay, so the first one is I've pointed you to this a few times, Dan. I'm going to do it again. Okay. It's the episode I did with Ryan where we talked about like what matters in terms of fantasy scoring. So there's three guys who hit 80th percentile or better in the top five stats in terms of predictability. Looking at the next year, these stats have mattered in terms of predicting future fantasy scoring. And they're guys you'd expect. It's Drake May, it's Josh Allen, it's Jalen Hurts. He's been a fantasy stalwart here at quarterback position. Then there's one guy who didn't quite hit 80th percentile in all five, but did hit 74th percentile or better in all five, and that's Trevor Lawrence. And I think that people don't realize like what the rushing was like last year. It wasn't just the rushing touchdowns. Like he was scrambling more. He was rushing more overall, and that's really important for fantasy. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to point that out because it's like, if he's running and the offense is really good, then like this could turn into something huge. I don't like we just did an episode where we talked about Caleb Williams and we're like, could he be like the MVP of the league? You know, could he put together that kind of a season? This sounds crazy, but I think we could get something like that from Trevor if we get like kind of the best case outcome here.
Right.
And so a stat I would bring up there is that this team was passing like crazy at the end of the year. So I showed you the fantasy point totals. Their pass rate over expectation on the year was eighth. So given the expectation of the circumstances on any given play, they were passing more than you'd expect. Over the final month of the season, they were first and were nearly double the next team. It wasn't even close. And the running back runs for this team were a lot worse than I think we remember. Statistically, they were 25th in EPA on running back runs on the year. Wow. That shocked me. 25th. Yeah. Success rate was not much better. And I think they probably brought in Chris Rodriguez for that reason. Here's a crazy stat I'll put up on the screen on Chris Rodriguez. I know Dan's a fan. I think he can help stabilize it, right? But this was the run game was not very good last year and they leaned into the pass more and more and more. And I wonder if we could get that kind of outcome again. I don't know. Do we really expect, given the talent of the offensive line, I know Liam Cohen is great and everything, but the talent of the offensive line and running back room that's, you know, Bashaul Tuten, very unproven, plus Chris Rodriguez, who's never really been anything more than just like a change of pace, like backup. It could be one of the worst running games in the league. And if that's the case with all these receivers and everything, I know that's not what they want. You know, they freaking drafted a blocking tight end in round two, but like if their plan doesn't work that well and they have to like lean back on what they did last year down the stretch, we could get some crazy dropback numbers and that could end up being really productive for fantasy.
everything you just said is why I'm so excited about him in fantasy and why I think he should be ranked as highly as you have him. And I'm considering even a couple spots higher because the ceiling is there for me. It's just like Caleb. And a lot of those points are really good points. They move pass heavy. They might have to stay pass heavy. We'll see with Chris Rodriguez. Like I thought about that, and it's an interesting signing from the idea of like, let's try to get more baseline singles and doubles in the run game. But the reality is he's injured. We don't know the extent of it. We don't know if he'll be healthy for the start of the season. We'll see in training camp. And they really still haven't done, in my mind, enough to win on the offensive line from a blocking standpoint. Like part of why the Bears were able to do what they were able to do last year is not just, oh, Ben Johnson came in. It's, well, they added big pieces to their offensive line. I'm still waiting for that in Jacksonville. I do like the addition they made at the kid out of Oregon, though, Emmanuel Prignone, to play guard. If he starts this year, I think he could be a mauler immediately in the run game. But regardless, it might not be enough. So I think if they do continue to lean on the passing game, and people have to understand with Lawrence, Jacob, like this is who he's been since Clemson. He was a much better runner than people realized at Clemson. I don't know if you remember watching him at Clemson, but he had some of these runs or zone read runs with ETN where he'd but fake the handoff, pull it, and go like 41 yards on a straight line, like a rope moving out there. That's how fast it looked like this guy was. He's a really good athlete and a weapon in the red zone because of his size. So like there is still the opportunity that he's kind of like an arbitrage play for Josh Allen in some ways in fantasy football. If that resonates at all with you.
Just that he can score a ton of rushing touchdowns
and
also
big
has
and a weapon in the red zone.
Yeah.
As a runner.
For sure. Yeah. That's something we talked about with Tyler Shuck too, where it's like some of these guys you don't think of as giving a lot of like fantasy rushing upside because they're not super elusive necessarily.
Right.
But that, I mean, what we're really looking for is touchdowns.
Yep.
And I think that he obviously did it last year and he could do it again. Okay. The last note I had on Lawrence was that, and this is something that I talked about with Caleb, even Drake May sometimes was a little bit slow, I thought, and triggering, but definitely it stands out for these two in their first year with their new offense is Caleb and Trevor Lawrence. I thought he read things out well, but was just a little bit slow on the timing. And I think that is something that could improve. You know, it's Trevor and we've seen him do this for a long time.
Yeah.
Now, right. Like, so I don't feel quite as good as like Caleb, who I thought made clear, tangible improvements from year one to year two, as I do betting on Trevor, who's like going into year six or whatever.
Right.
But it is a new offense. And so maybe the timing and rhythm is better this next year. And then the other thing is the offense was good last year and all this worked and we got a huge season for fantasy. And that was with drops,
right?
Like league high drops and pretty freaking bad accuracy.
Right.
Especially when throwing in rhythm. So on
That's
the
what
year,
I was gonna get to, yeah.
On the year, Lawrence, out of 39 quarterbacks, ranked 17th in highly accurate throw rate when throwing 10 or more yards down the field. So that's not bad. It's better than Caleb Williams, who is 21st. Both of them took a step forward, and being with the new play caller like, clearly helped. If you look at the catchable ball rate, it's much, much better. But in terms of the actual accuracy, it did, again, leave something to be desired. We watched all this film. It's clear. You just see misses. It's not as bad as Caleb, but the accuracy could be a lot better. And then when throwing in rhythm, this is a crazy stat. When throwing in rhythm, so it's 2.5 to 3 seconds. Is that like how long after the snap of the football that the throw occurred? On those throws, only Patrick Mahomes and Michael Penix had a lower highly accurate rate than Trevor Lawrence. He had the third lowest highly accurate throw rate when throwing in rhythm. That's per fantasy points data.
That's so odd. I think reality is when it comes to the accuracy with Lawrence, for me, I have this in my notes, Jacob. When he was trusting himself more and just actually, this is going to sound, I don't know if this is going to resonate, but let's see if it does. When he actually threw the football confidently and didn't try to guide the football to the location that he was trying to get it to, he looked good from an accuracy standpoint. But there are so many times when I'm watching him where I feel like he's trying to like almost like guide the ball to a spot. I don't know if you've noticed this, so I wanted to bring this up. I was thinking about this when you were talking about the accuracy. Do you notice that at times he doesn't really like release the football and throw the football? It's almost like a guided it's hard to explain. It's I'm trying to think of this in like athletic terms that I've been, like maybe
well, this is why the label for the throwing and rhythm stat kind of irritates me, is because it's a little bit misleading, because throwing and rhythm doesn't necessarily have anything to do with rhythm or like the quarterback's comfortability. It's just when the throw occurred.
So
But I think I understand what you're saying. Yeah. There's times where it feels like Trevor's playing more instinctual, which is great.
Right.
Because gosh, it's been like really rough watching him have to play quarterback, honestly, to start his career. This year was such a breath of fresh air. And it was so good to see those moments, because it's like, okay, I think that Liam can get this out of him. I think that we can get to a place where he is more comfortable, especially if he gets more confidence in the receivers. And yeah, I do think he was a lot more accurate on those throws. I mean, he still has some misses. But yeah, Trevor, it feels palpable when he's going to miss. It almost feels like you are like in his body. Like you can tell that like he's uncomfortable and it's about to be bad.
Right.
Like it's that. And then he also has the crazy decisions where it's like sometimes you can just tell he's about to do something bad. It's like
it Trevor, just looks to me like at times he doesn't really trust that he's going to be able to accurately get the ball to a spot. He's a big guy with a big arm, like he's tall, like, you know, bigger athlete. But when he actually trusts himself, and I guess that is, like you said, just that comfortability, which it felt like toward the end of the year, we saw a lot of that. It looks good. So it's still like when I watch him versus watching Caleb, because we watch these guys back to back, Caleb May and Trevor. I think Trevor is clearly the worst thrower of the football of these three. But then there's moments where he trusts it and he looks like one of the best throwers. Like he throws a wheel route to ETN that I have in my notes. And I'm like, this was a dime. Like, but it looks more like he actually threw the ball rather than trying to guide it to a spot, which is hard for me to explain as non-expert, a quarterback analyzer. Yeah. But it's just something I see when I watch his tape.
How insane are Caleb Williams and Drake May that were like, yeah, we've been watching a lot of QB film and Trevor Lawrence has the worst arm of these guys. Like, what? Trevor Lawrence is such an incredible prospect, dude. And like so much of it was based on his arm talent.
Right.
All right. So, yeah, if you enjoy this and if that makes you curious about Caleb Williams, we've got 41 minutes on him. We've got player profiles out on all of these players, Drake May, Tyler Shuck, Caleb Williams, Malik Willis. We got some really cool stuff. Dan and I have been diving deep into the film here this offseason. This is what June's for, man. You know, most people are out, you know, enjoying their lives, getting some sunlight, hanging by the pool. And me and my man Dan Schneier are grinding film.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in.
That's why you're here.
Appreciate everybody. Please hit the like button if you haven't already. We're going to wrap up with this, a little bit of a plug God type of situation. We haven't done it in a while. Please hit the like button. Please subscribe. Please help us grow this channel. We want to be revved up for August and for late July when things start to heat up in the fantasy community. So we're doing our part now. Help us by doing your part. Get us over the 5K subscriber mark and we can really start to rip it and rev it up. We've got more video content coming your way. Please leave a comment as well.
I'm getting revved up, baby.